Michigan Liberation is a statewide network of people and organizations organizing to end the criminalization of Black families and communities of color in Michigan. We envision a state without mass incarceration, mass policing, and punishment. We envision a state with the best public education in the nation, single-payer health care, and thriving Black and brown communities. Here on the Respect the Rules podcast, we will lift up the stories and experiences of those impacted by mass incarceration, collective ties to the criminal legal system, and the frontline efforts to end mass incarceration.
What's up, everybody? This is Ms. Marjan. Welcome to another episode of Respect the Roots, Michigan Liberation's podcast. Today, we are going to talk about ending cash bail discussion and everything. I've got an amazing guest here. Before I bring her on, I want to definitely read over her bio, Brianna Payton. She's the Director of Policy and Advocacy for the Chicago Appleseed Center for Fair Courts and everything. In fact, I'm going to bring her on now. I'm not even going to wait. Brianna, I'm going to bring you in right now. What's going on, Brianna?
Hi.
Hi, hi. Let me tell you, this is a bad sister, a bad mama jamma. You know, she's, like I said, the Director of Policy and Advocacy for the Chicago Appleseed Center for Fair Courts. But before I get started with her bio, she's also from the D. What up, doe?
Okay, 313, say what up, doe.
I had to bring that in. I had to break my. Okay. I'm already. No, but prior to joining Appleseed, Brianna was the Senior Legislative Advocacy Coordinator at the Chicago Community Bond Fund and the Policy Coordinator for the Illinois Network for Pre-Child Justice. In these positions, she collaborated with organizers. We know about organizing, okay, in Michigan Lib. Impacted people, definitely we know about that. Attorneys, policy experts to pass and protect the Pre-Trial Fairness Act, which makes Illinois the first state in the country to end money bond. We also know it as cash bail, right, Brianna? Mm-hmm. At Appleseed, Brianna continues to participate as a member of the Coalition to End Money Bond and Illinois Network for Pre-Child Justice, and will support all other initiatives that advance criminal legal system reform. I know that's right. Brianna holds her bachelor's degree, all right, in sociology with minors in African American studies, American studies, and Spanish from Princeton University. Okay. And she also obtained her master's from the University of Chicago Crown School of Social Work Policy and Practice and participated in the Transforming Justice Program of Studies. So once again, what up, Brianna? Amazing bio, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, I'm sorry. What did you say?
Thank you. I just said thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being on here. We have talked offline, but the thing is, we want to go ahead and talk about ending cash bail or money. What else do you call it? We call it cash bail. Mm-hmm. Money bond, okay. Okay. And, you know, to get started into this discussion, I like to meet people where they're at, Brianna. And I want to go ahead and start off talking about cash bail, bail reform. What is it? Let's not assume everybody knows what the heck we're talking about. Tell me, what is it? What's the definition?
All for making sure we're on a level playing field. So cash bail, also known as money bond, is something that is taken from people who are accused of crime and entangled in the criminal legal system at the early stages of a case. When people get arrested, taken into custody, and they go to court, they will have what is called a bond hearing in many states, in most states. And at that hearing, a judge will often decide either to jail the person before trial, aka jail them without bond, without release, without the possibility of release, release them on, you know, in Illinois, we call it a recognizance bond. I'm not sure what it's called in other places. It's also called an I bond, but basically release them without requiring anything, money or anything else. Just come back to court and don't get rearrested. But then there is this murky middle ground where a judge can say, well, you can be released, but only if you pay this certain amount of money. And that is a money bond, also referred to sometimes as a cash bail. Okay. That's what it is. And so at that point, the thing that is standing between a person and their freedom before trial is a certain dollar amount. And it really creates an unequal system of an unequal legal system. It creates unequal access to justice. It criminalizes poverty. It treats people as though they're more dangerous if they can't afford to pay a certain amount of money, and somehow less dangerous if they can pay that amount of money.
Wow. 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 All right. So with that, you just gave the definition of it. Wow. Okay. So cash bail, bail reform, like you said, in some cases.
Yeah. And I guess I didn't really define bail reform, though. So bail maybe reform, we should go right. Next.
Yeah.
So bail reform is the effort to try to mitigate or undo some of that injustice of people having a price tag put on their freedom, a price tag put on the presumption of innocence. It is the effort to get policies and laws changed so that that's not happening, or it's not happening as much, or it's something that is less detrimental to people. So bail reform can run, and we also call it pretrial reform. It can run it can look a lot of different ways. So it can look like trying to put limits so that people are not being given money bonds that they can't afford. So I think that, I don't want to get it wrong how y'all have done it in Michigan, but I think there's been some work in Michigan to make it so that the judges can't set amounts that are a certain amount that are unaffordable to a certain extent. Or maybe that's happened in other places. I don't want to get it mixed up, but in some places they'll try to get an affordability assessment where a judge has to look at, you know, how much can this person pay? How much is their income? It can't be this much more than this percent of their income, or things like that. So that's one way that it can look. Another way that it can look is completely trying to make certain charges ineligible for money bonds. So you see that in New York. Okay. In New York, they have gotten it to where lower level charges are not, money bonds are not permissible in a lot of lower level charges, although it's still permissible in some higher level charges. And then here in Illinois, the way that pretrial reform has manifested is we have advocated to pass legislation to completely end the use of money bond and to make it a legally prohibited practice. So bond reform it can just run the whole spectrum.
Brianna, so that leads me now to the nuts and bolts of our discussion, because thank you so much for that description. We're going to talk about the process and strategy of how Illinois ended cash bail, money bond, okay, whatever you want to call it. If you're just joining us, we're talking about cash bail. We have none other than Brianna Payton. She is the director of policy and advocacy in Chicago, but she's from Detroit. So what up, Joe, to that? All right. I had to throw that plug in. All right. Because, you know, we booming here, especially with the Lions, but we'll leave that alone, Brianna. But right now, we want to get into the process and strategy of ending cash bail. Because right now, I'm going to be honest, Brianna, we're trying to figure out how Illinois did it, because you're just right next door. So we can maybe apply the same principles and methods in Michigan. So I'll lead with that and let you, you know, tell us. And I know you got a great, because I've heard it before, but let us know how do you end this thing?
Yeah, so the way we approached this in Illinois, it was a campaign that spanned over multiple years. So the coalition to end money bond started in Illinois all the way back in May of 2016. A group of organizations in Cook County, Illinois, which is where Chicago is, came together, different organizations that did different things. So I used to work at the Chicago Community Bond Fund. That's an organization that paid bonds for people that were stuck in jail because they couldn't afford to pay for their freedom. Other organizations like Soul, Southsiders Organized for Unity and Liberation, that did community organizing. Organizations like the People's Lobby that did policy and electoral advocacy. And more organizations, justice reform organizations, came together to form a coalition to say, we need to end money bond. Because, you know, different organizations had done different things to try to address the issues that money bond was causing. At CCBF, the bond fund, they were paying bonds for people that couldn't afford it. But the problem was, you could pay as many bonds as you want to, and there's always going to be more being set than how many you can pay. There's always going to be more money that is charged for people's freedom than what you have in the bank. And so they realized, we need to address this at the root. If we, you know, we're talking about respect the roots, okay? We need to address this at the root of the issue, which is that the fact that these money bonds are even being set to begin with. Or, for example, Seoul, they had been advocating to get the state's attorney at the time, Anita Alvarez, to stop having her attorneys advocate for such high money bonds in people's cases that was causing people to be locked up. And they actually ended up organizing to help get a new reform-oriented state's attorney elected. Kim Fox was the first Black state's attorney here in Cook County. But getting a Black state's attorney didn't stop people from still getting unaffordable money bonds. Because prosecutors can still advocate for them and the judges can still set them. So people were doing these pieces of advocacy to make things better, but it still came down to, if we want to address this issue, we need to end money bond. So the motion to end money bond was started in 2016 with that mission in mind. And, you know, at the time it seemed impossible. There were people that said it was impossible, that they should pick a different fight. But here we are. You know, what is this? I do not like math, but I think we're 7 years later. And money bond is a thing of the past in Illinois.
Wow.
It is outlawed. Wow. It starts with believing that the impossible can be done. It starts with people being determined enough to set a goal that seems like, oh no, this has been so entrenched for so long. It's been decades. It's been this long, this many people, everybody's so used to it. And being like, well, anyway, what's that mean? So anyways, child. So like, just ignoring all of that and saying, we're going to face it head on and we're going to do this because it needs to be done. Wow. You know, so that is the first step for one.
Wow. Once that's what I'm saying. Wow, Brianna. And Brianna, here's the thing. We're almost at the halfway mark, but we got about like 3 minutes. I purposely did this because I know, Brianna, after talking to you offline, there was like a chronological, you know, methodical way of getting this, you know, ended, should we say. I know you said like 7 years. So 2016, you even went back. I remember we talked offline and it started with these organizations, which you had the ability to be a part of, which was awesome. And then you kind of came in main, you know, in the middle. But also, can you even talk about how the power of organizing came into play?
Oh, absolutely.
Because we know that, you know, like you said, a lot of people say there's no way you're going to be able to do this. It's just no way. But and a lot of, I think, I can't speak for all organizers or organizations. Sometimes you feel like you're just at a lost cause. You know what I mean? But please speak on that as it pertained to the each year of getting this to even when it was finally implemented. Because we're like at the half mark, 1 minute ahead of the half mark, if that helps you.
Thank you for that time check. So, yes, to speak to the power of organizing, I just have to say, like, organizing is the lifeblood of this movement. Without organizing, there is no movement. And there is no power like the power of the people. Ain't no power like the power of the people, because the power of the people don't stop. So when you talk about winning, like, you lose, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. So really just making that determination. Yes, it can seem like a lost cause, but it's not a lost cause until you try to do it. And not just try to do it once, but try to do it multiple times, multiple different ways. And that's what this campaign did. So it started off, you know, in 2016 when the coalition formed, there was a lawsuit. Coalition member organizations partnered with civil rights attorneys from a national organization called Civil Rights Corps to file a lawsuit against the Cook County court system, alleging that the use of money bonds was unconstitutional. Because it was denying people the right to equal protection under the law. If we have two people that have the same background, the same case, the same allegations against them, the same criminal history, and you give them the same money bond, one person is going to be able to get out if they have the money, and one person is going to go to jail because they don't. Does that sound like equal protection to you?
Not at all.
Absolutely not. It is fee-based justice. And that's not justice at all. And so alleging that it was violating the right to equal protection under the law. And that led to bond reform in Cook County. The chief judge, after that lawsuit was filed, and after there were rallies and actions and different things to organize the people around that cause, the chief judge here in Cook County, Timothy Evans, set a general order in place, a rule essentially governing the judges in bond court in Cook County that said they cannot set bonds in amounts that people cannot afford to pay. So that was the start of an impact, because after that happened, the number of people that were being jailed on unaffordable money bonds started to go down. And it got to the point that on any given day in Cook County jail, there were 2,000 fewer people in the jail. Over the course of a year, that's 10,000 fewer people in the jail because of that one rule that was set in one county in Illinois. Now, the problem is it wasn't implemented consistently. So it might hinder, and our coalition did court watching to see how is this being implemented. And what we saw was it wasn't being implemented consistently. Depending on the judge that you got, you might get an unaffordable money bond, or you might get a judge that was following the rules. So that inconsistency was not fair. And on top of that, it was only helping people in Cook County, right? And wow. So you have these people across the rest of Illinois who are still suffering under a system of unaffordable money bonds being used at the same rate that they were before. And so that's when our coalition got motivated to actually start a statewide network. They were like, we can't just do this in Cook County. So they connected with people in all different counties. They traveled across the state. They connected with people. They built community and relationships. They met people that were impacted, and their families were impacted, and their community members were impacted by this. And they banded together to start the Illinois Network for Pretrial Justice. And that was started in 2019 in Illinois. And that ended up becoming the statewide network that carried this thing through to the finish line of actually getting legislation passed.
Right, right. And you know, we've talked offline, Brianna, for those of you just joining us who are late to the party, Brianna Payton, Director of Policy and Advocacy with Chicago Appleseed. We're going to be providing on our social media pages or platforms, all the websites, so we can go ahead and make sure people have that resources, because we want to make sure you know the organizations that Brianna's talking about that was part of the original coalition, and then also the Illinois Network, you know, group that you, the umbrella, that as you call it, that you formed in 2019. See, I was taking notes, girlfriend, because let me tell you something.
And I can do a shout out real quick because the websites are so easy. If you go to www.nmoneybond.org, that's where you can read about the coalition and the network. If you go to pretrialfairness.org, you can read about the Pretrial Fairness Act campaign. And our coalition, our socials online on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook are all End Money Bond. And on Facebook is Coalition to End Money Bond. So I know it'll be in writing for people that will get it that way, but some people, they might even be able to just hear that and visit later from memory. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
We will make sure that they have that resource, because what, knowledge is power too, Brianna.
Absolutely.
But go ahead, I'm sorry, because we've got, hey, let me tell you something. We got about 10 minutes, but I want to spend 5 more minutes letting you kind of tell us how it was implemented, but then also close out with lessons learned, because like I said, even though Michigan is not Illinois, there's still some transferable things we can apply.
Of course, absolutely. I will move quickly through the rest of the story. So after we formed the statewide network, there was an effort to do two different things statewide. So the first thing they tried to do statewide was to get the Supreme Court to set a rule, because a local chief judge setting a rule in Cook County only affected Cook County, and it didn't have enforcement. It didn't have teeth. There wasn't a way for the chief judge to force the other judges to do these things. And so it needed to have teeth. So they tried to get the Supreme Court to set a rule, but the Supreme Court didn't set a rule. Instead, what the Supreme Court did is they started a task force to study the issue of pretrial justice and pretrial, you know, bond reform and things of that nature. And they ended up coming out with a report in 2020 saying that, when they said that they were going to do a task force to study it and bring together all these stakeholders, attorneys, judges, law enforcement, our coalition organized with people to tell them, you all need to have listening sessions in the community. They had listening sessions in the community, and our coalition organized people to pack out the listening sessions so that the Supreme Court had to hear from people who were directly impacted by this and really went through the harms that you know, the money bond system causes, because we haven't talked about that, but the money bond system devastates people's lives. You know, people lose their jobs, their homes. Sometimes people lose custody of their children. They might lose access to medication and healthcare. Their mental health might decline. People have lost their lives to pretrial incarceration. The suicide rate in jails is 3 times that of the general population. Wow. And if someone is going to take their own life in jail, it's most likely to happen within 1 week, because that's how torturous it is to be in a cage and not know if or when you're going to get out.
Brian, let me tell you, let me back you up. Something we say at Michigan Liberation, you can't get well in a cell.
Okay. At all. As a matter of fact, you will likely get worse. And that is what people don't necessarily always see in a country where we are socialized to believe that locking people in cages makes us safer. But anybody who's ever been attached to or connected to anybody that has been affected by incarceration knows that incarceration is often making bad situations worse, you know, and worse off than they came. And so we pushed for there to be a Supreme Court rule. Then they did the task force, and they listened to people that were affected by it. And they ended up coming out with a report saying that people should not be jailed based on inability to pay a money bond. Money bonds should not be used to keep people in jail. And legally, this is true. All across the country, courts are really breaking the rules, because money bonds were never meant to be used legally to keep people in jail. They were meant to be used to let people out of jail, but have them put something up to make sure they would come back, like skin in the game. Like when they make you get your ID, and if you're borrowing something so that you can come back and bring back what you borrowed, and then you get your ID back. It's like that. There, you pay the money bond, and they say, okay, if you come back to your court dates, we'll give you your money back at the end of the case. But here's the thing, that didn't work, because one, they didn't even get the money back at the end of the case most of the time. In Illinois, they did a study and found that the money was only going back to families in 20% of the cases. Two, the studies show that money bonds don't actually increase people's rates of coming back to court. So this idea that people need to pay money to come back to court isn't based in data or reality, because the truth is, the only real motivation most people need to come back to court is the fact that they probably don't want to live their life on the run from the law, because the law has a way of catching up with you.
Right.
So the idea that you need to pay money to be motivated to come back to court to resolve a case is just not real. So in any case, you know, they had those listening sessions. They came out with the report that money bonds shouldn't be used to keep people in jail. And then what we did on our side is we started to push for legislation, because it was clear that that was about as far as the Supreme Court was going to go at the time, was just to talk about it, but not necessarily to do a whole rule that we wanted. So the coalition worked with attorneys, impacted people, experts that had done bond reform in other states like New Jersey, and basically crafted a big piece of legislation. Wow. That envisioned how we could end money bond in Illinois, using the experiences of impacted people and the expertise of attorneys and people who could envision how was this system doing people wrong, and how could it be reimagined to do better by people in the pretrial phase.
Right.
And so wrote, you know, developed the legislation, got ready to advocate to pass it in 2020. COVID hit. So then that kind of COVID hit, and the uprisings hit in 2020. So that kind of caused a detour where they weren't working as closely on passing it then. But later that year in 2020, in the fall, came back with a vengeance. Statewide day of action, organizing rallies and actions to say, we still got to do something about bond reform. Talking to legislators and saying, we know that y'all been off and kind of had to get your bearings after the pandemic, but now that you're back, you need to do something about bond reform. And legislators listened, not just because our coalition was organizing, but because there was an uprising all across the country in 2020 with the Black Lives Matter movement after the murders of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, where everybody was demanding change. And so the legislators in Illinois, specifically shout out to the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus, because Black legislators in Illinois said, we have to respond to the calls of our community and do something.
Wow.
And when they were looking for something to do, our policy was ready to go. And this is one thing when you speak about lessons, you have to be ready for when your opportunity comes. You can't always control all the conditions that brings about the opportunity, but if you stay on it and you stay advocating and you stay ready, so you don't have to get ready, when that opportunity opens up, you can take it. And that's what we did. We already had the policy ready to go. We had already been talking to legislators and organizing community members. And so then when they were looking for what can we do to make a big change that our community is demanding, ending money bond was on the list. And it passed in January of 2021.
Gee, man. And then I know, you know, and this is all part of lessons learned. So don't even worry. We're going to go into that. But Brianna, also, because this is the lessons learned, because now you're getting ready to implement it and everything. And let me tell you, okay, so you're there. Now you got a 2-year implementation because we talked offline and everything. Mm-hmm. But also incorporate with telling us how you implement it. But what are some maybe nuggets, some food for thought besides don't give up?
Yeah, absolutely. So just to kind of finish and put a bow on the story, like you said, there was a 2-year implementation period because this was a very major change to the law. So it wasn't set to go into effect in full until January 2023. Mm-hmm. There was a lawsuit challenging whether it was constitutional that was filed by prosecutors. And so in order for that to be resolved, there was a delay on implementation. And the state Supreme Court decided on that case in July of 2023, last year. And then after they made that decision and released it in July, the law finally took full effect in September of 2023. And now it's been in effect and it has already started to lower the number of people in jail by the hundreds across the state. Almost 1,000 people, fewer people are in Cook County jail since before the law took effect just about a few months ago. And there's also been reductions by the dozens or by the hundreds, depending on the size of the county, all across Illinois. And this is just the beginning, because this is going to stop so many people from being jailed just because they can't buy their freedom for years and years to come. And so as for lessons learned, I'll be lightning fast, because I know we're running on time. But
you got about 4 minutes, so I know you can kill it, Brianna.
Oh, yeah,
I know if you're late, it's all right. You have to go back later and rewind. But we're talking with Brianna Payton. She is the Director of Policy and Advocacy at Chicago Appleseed. She is great. She's already explained about bail reform and cash bond and cash bail or money bail, as you may know it, and the process that it took for the state of Illinois to abolish, however you want to define it, in cash bail. Now she's talking about lessons learned, because in Michigan, we've been sitting on this too long, Brianna. This is ridiculous, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes. So absolutely, believing for the impossible is where it starts, and demanding the impossible is where it starts. You have to really keep people that are directly impacted by the system at the center of your work. It should not be led by lawyers or organized. You should keep the people that are experiencing it at the center, because the people that are closest to the problem are closest to the solution.
We say that all the time. Brianna, you've been into our, okay, I'm sorry. Keep going. I'm taking notes. They know I'm talking. This is an example of it. Brianna, we say it, but now you're applying it and you are living witness how, when you apply it, it does.
The power is also in not only the expertise that people have who are impacted, but their voices and their story. It cuts through the mess in a way that data and numbers just can't do. You got to have the data and the numbers, so do have that. But people connect over stories. Somebody can have all these preconceived notions about bail reform, and you can tell them all the statistics and they'll say, oh, those numbers must not be right. But when they hear the direct story of somebody who went through it, and they can see their humanity, that is where the real change starts to happen. And so you have to keep impacted people at the center. One of the other things you need to do is you need to unite around principles. You might have organizations that have different political, they might be in slightly different places on the political spectrum. You know, we had some organizations that were explicitly abolitionist in our coalition, and some that were more reform focused, but we got together and said, what is our goal? What is our target? Because for us, it wasn't just about ending money bond, but it was about reducing pretrial incarceration. Because you could end money bond in a way that doesn't actually reduce pretrial incarceration. And we had to all be on the same page that that's not how we define a win. And so, So you have to be clear about what your principles and what your goals are. And the last thing I'll say is, master your message. Really get clear about how you're going to talk about this issue, how you're going to make it plain for people, and stick to it. Don't fall into the narratives of the other side, because the other side is basing on the narratives that we need incarceration to be safe. We need to lock all our people up to be safe. So really committing, like, no, what do we really believe about this? What do we really believe keeps our communities safe? What have we seen keeps our communities safe? What are the resources our communities need?
Man.
And how can we show and show in our message that money bond doesn't contribute to that? So we have the message that finances should not determine freedom. And we're safer when facts, not finances, determine freedom. There shouldn't be a price tag on the presumption of innocence. Money bonds are holding people ransom. In a country with a history like slavery, we should be ashamed to be putting a price tag on anybody's freedom in this century. Really getting down to the core of the messages of, like, what do you believe? What's a short and clear and compelling way to say it and hammer it home again and again and make them hear you until something changes?
Go on, girl. Drop the mic. Brianna Payton, it's been an honor. It's been a pleasure. You have killed it. In that short period of time, somebody is going to get the message. And if it's not just the people at Michigan Lib, we are... I'm almost at tears, and it takes a lot to do that, Brianna, and only because you made it plain. You made it plain in your message, sister, and we thank you. Somebody's going to hear this and want to get involved, and I'm telling you, make sure you put your comments, your questions in the section below. We'll get back to you. We'll, even if we have to reach out to Brianna, if we, hey, this is aired later on, and we're not going to leave everybody out there. We realize there's power in numbers too, Brianna. And that's absolutely why we thank you that you took your time to meet with our staff offline as well as with me today on this podcast, Mike. So many people are listening to our podcast because here's the thing, like you said, we those closest to the what?
Problem are closest to the solution.
Exactly.
And it takes all of us. You got to have impact of people at the center, but you have got to have everybody involved, the attorneys, the advocates, the policy experts, the service providers. Get everybody involved that you can, because our freedom is bound up with one another's.
Exactly. That's Brianna Payton, y'all. That's my girl, Director of Policy and Advocacy from Chicago Appleseed. She's in the Chi-Town, but honey, she's from the D. Hello.
Period.
But we thank you, Brianna. We thank you. Till next time, everybody. Hey, make sure you share this episode with somebody that needs to hear it, because we got to end cash bail in Michigan. It's ridiculous.
And it's in our country. We're one of only two countries that still have this practice. It is completely outdated and draconian. And we like to say we're so modern and we're so advanced, but what are we doing with this then? Why are we doing something so illogical and inhumane in one of the most developed countries in the world?
What, say that again. And somebody needs to hear it, because I was talking. I'm sorry.
We're one of two countries. It's only us and the Philippines that still have wealth-based pretrial jailing. It is a draconian, outdated system that just about every other country in the world has figured out how to do without. But we're supposed to be one of the most advanced, but we still do it. So how does that work? How does that math?
Right. And let me tell you something. If you're listening, and here's a question we get all the time, you want to get involved, here's the thing. At My Liberation, all right, My Liberation, that's our social media platforms, but also our website, myliberation.org.
My Liberation, right? Not M-Y?
No, M-I. Sorry, M-I. Yeah, M-I Liberation. So it's M-I for Michigan. M-I. And then Liberation, you got me all stumbled up. I know that right there. See, when you hear statistics, that's when then you're like, okay, what? A lot of people come to us. They like, Marja, I don't know. Miss Marja, I don't know what. I just know I want to help. And this is where we can use your help. It takes numbers. It takes volunteers. It takes a base. It takes core team members.
Yeah.
It gets exhausting, Brianna. You already know this. You've been doing this work.
Thousands of people took action in Illinois to get this done. Thousands.
And it started in 2016. So it is possible, y'all. It don't happen overnight. But the thing is, I've seen our team, even our bailout team, you know, where sometimes you get a little discouraged. Like you said, COVID kind of halted a lot of things, Brianna. Okay, but now we're getting past that. We got to keep still doing the work, you know. And mm-hmm. and like I told you offline, sometimes you may question your background, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an organizer. You don't have to be.
Compassion, and some compassion can do a lot of things.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you again, Brianna. Please stay on. I got to talk to you some more. But other than that, y'all, thank you for joining us on this episode, another episode of the podcast, Michigan Liberation's podcast, Respect the Roots. Brianna, you got to say with me, respect the roots.
Respect the roots.
Respect them roots. All right, y'all. Till next time, y'all. Hold on, Brianna.
Michigan Liberation Education Fund, C3, conducts grassroots organizing, leadership development, and civic engagement activities. Michigan Liberation, C4, and Michigan Liberation Action Fund, IE, are sister organizations.